I mean, I'll just say this. I've got no update, but it's just one of those things you pass in the puck and, you know, something happened. So, you know, precaution got him off. He's going to get looked at, and then we'll find out what's going on.
The words we all needed to hear when it came to Rasmus Dahlin coming from Lindy Ruff. Just some reassurance. That would have been great. That's all it was.
We basically just got unsure. That was it.
No. Well, him saying that actually made things better.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
For you?
Because I actually got to hear something about it.
Right. It wasn't just like, oh, middle body injury. Like the most non-specific thing. Like LBI. Okay, foot, ankle, leg,
right.
Knee. Just, like, what are we talking about here?
But
NHL
know,
injury designations. A little rant there.
Yes. Before we do that, though.
Yeah.
It's time to bring on a good friend of the show and the noted jerk himself. Noted hockey contributor with Bleacher Report. Big time friend of the show, suffering Lions fan, Joe Yurden is on the Western Hotline with us. Joe, it's Derek, and it's Joe. It's good to talk
Joe
to you, man.
Galore.
Yeah,
it's just the way you want it on a Saturday. As much Joe as you can handle.
Yes, sir.
Such Joe. Wow. Joe, of course. Last week, Prospects Tournament was happening. I was just going as like a spectator, and the next thing you know, get up to the seventh floor. Who's the first man I see? I see Joe Yurden. And of course, I go right into work mode. We start talking shop. We start talking, you know, puck. And immediately it was, hey, you know, with the preseason already going to be underway, let's get a day going so that we get you on here. And lo and behold, here we are.
It's, you know, it was funny because like I was already in work mode considering, you know, there was Sabres.
Yeah, you were there doing your job already.
Happened. Right. So you come in and you know, you got your face painted and you know, you got, you know, the shirts off for whatever reason. I don't know, it's cold in there. And then you're like, hey man, get on the show. And I'm like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do it.
Next thing you know, I look completely normal after that. Just
yeah. Yeah. But like a little quick like 30-second like, hey man, what's up? Turned into 5 minutes of talking about the team and then being like, why don't you just come on the show? I was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we're already
better.
We're already going, so let's go. And then, of course, the Sabres had to give their fans one of the biggest scares 5 minutes into training camp.
Yeah. Rasmus Dahlin was on the ice to start as they were about getting ready to start doing drills and everything, and then very suddenly we were like, wait a minute, there's one guy missing. What happened? Who's missing? Oh, it's the big blonde guy. It's Rasmus Dahlin. He's gone. Okay, so a lot of us were kind of holding our breath, hoping that, you know, maybe it was an equipment issue or, you know, maybe a bathroom break. Who knows? But he didn't come back. And, yeah, it's some kind of mid-body thing, according to the team. And Lindy Ruff didn't seem very concerned about it. So I'm not totally concerned about it. If he doesn't really do anything, you know, while they're in Germany or you know, are ahead of Prague, then it's time to get a little bit nervous about things. But you know, we've seen Dahlin there, you know, watching everybody practice and taking things in and looking really mad about not being on the ice. So I'm not sweating it. This is different from other past situations where, you know, it was like, oh yeah, just be a couple days, and you know, we didn't see, you know, height nor hair of the player, and we're like, okay, well, what's going on? And then they're out a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, who knows? But this feels like it's a lot different.
Joe, of course, like the comments there from Lindy Ruff, so I jokingly said, if Joe says that, Lindy says that everything's okay. But in all reality, though, it was good to just at least hear something and know that there's going to be a relatively quick turnaround and timeline on this. But you've been out there covering practices in what is going to be one of the more weird preseasons for the Sabres that we've seen in a little while.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they're the NHL group, which I'm very happy they broke up the groups according to, okay, here's the guys that we believe are our NHL group. Here's our, you know, our pretty steady Amerks group. And then here's our other Amerks and probably Jacksonville guys and rookies, breaking up the practices that way, because when you've only got about, geez, it's like less than a week because camp opened up on what, Wednesday, and they're flying out. The NHL guys are flying out to Germany on Tuesday. So it's a quick turnaround. It's a lot of days of skating. You know, they're going to get the day off tomorrow on Sunday. But it's a lot of work. It's a lot of action. You know, the game group today, they're playing in a game tonight, but they scrimmaged yesterday morning. So these guys are, you're getting thrown right into it. This is vastly different from the NFL where you spend 2-3 weeks, doing drills and just working out and getting ready and doing all that before you even see a preseason game come up. This is just, 3 days of practice. All right, game time. Let's go. Let's get this done. But when you've got a Germany trip and you've got a Europe trip where you're going to be there for 2 weeks, you're opening your season there, you've got to have your team set. You've got to have a really good idea of what you want your lineup to be right off the bat. And fortunately, the way the summer went, and I know people grumped about it and whatnot, but you know who your guys are. There weren't going to be a lot of battles. It was, if there was a battle, it was about depth spots. But this helped streamline things and help Lindy Ruff and the coaching staff get right to it and be, get things as ready as possible right away for the season.
Yeah, especially with the fact that, in past years, we've seen a couple players, possibly challenge for spots, or even one last year with one Zach Benson making the team out of camp. It looks like this year, like you'd mentioned, it's pretty much the NHL guys, but there is one name that has not seen considerable ice time with the big club that is going to be with this NHL group right now, and that's Jiří Kulík. He had himself a stellar prospects tournament. What do you think everything is with him? Because he was one of the names that, once we started talking last week, immediately came up, and I was thinking, if he's got the talent, he should be starting to show it now.
Yeah, well, I would argue, this is where the expectations and the views on guys get so twisted, because he spent the last 2 years in Rochester, which is, I think in your normal mind where you're thinking about he's been in Rochester 2 years. When's it going to happen? When's it going to turn on? When's it going to click for him? But then you remember he spent 2 years in the AHL at age 18 and 19. He's got 51 goals in the AHL before he turned 20. This guy's very young. Really young. And the development scale of how it's viewed from the outside is so different, because it's not spending 2 years in junior hockey. It's not spending 2 years in college. It's he went from playing in the Czech Extraliga, the men's league, that's the elite pro league in Czechia, to playing in the AHL at 18 and being there for 2 years and being, scoring 24 and then 27 goals in consecutive years. And he's really young. And there's still a lot of things that you have to learn about the pro game and things you have to, get square and so that you, when you get to the NHL, you're a fully formed guy and you're never going back to the AHL. And I think what the thing they wanted to avoid with Kulík is they didn't want him riding the bus back and forth between Rochester and Buffalo and, the emotional roller coaster of that, where it's like, oh man, I'm in the NHL, I made it, here we go. And then you struggle. And then you get down, and then it's like, all right, man, we got to send you back to Roch. We got some things we want to work out with you. And then it becomes a psychological kind of mess for guys like that. And it's natural. And plus, he's 19, he's 20 years old now. But I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy. And he was hands down the best player out of everybody in Prospects Challenge, which, a guy 2 years in the AHL with his talent level probably should be. But, talk can be cheap and expectations can sometimes fall flat. And we've seen that in the past with big prospects, but he didn't happen with him. He was better than everybody, by magnitudes. And, maybe it was a little bit of a surprise to see him just, right there with the NHL group. And, he was trading off on shifts with Zach Benson, with Dylan Cousins and Jack Quinn. But, I think tonight we're going to see him with Peyton Krebs and Lukáš Rusek. So this is a really interesting setup for him, and he's going to be on the power play. So we're going to get a good dose of what he's about in this game. And, Pittsburgh's probably not bringing the heavy hitter lineup tonight. So it's a good chance for him to really kind of show out and, get an idea of how he fits in and hopefully, not maybe step up and take advantage of that. But, He's a fascinating player, and when he's ready, when it's time for him to be in the NHL, and that time might be now, but when he's here, man, it's going to be exciting because the offensive talent is great. It's just he's got to be consistent.
Joe Yurden of Noted Hockey here on the Wesser Hotline. Yeah, it was interesting because, like, you and I talked about that of, like, you know, he's only so young. He's still already been so accomplished. But it was almost as if on cue that I said something that was, like, a bit of a rushed comment. And here he is making his first real run at it with the NHL roster. Mm-hmm. That it's like, okay, maybe Cooley is ready now. And it's like the latest of the solid drafting history that we've been seeing from Kevin Adams of, you know, you had Jack Quinn, you had J.J. Paterka, you had Zach Benson immediately making impacts with this roster. That it was almost like, oh, right, no, he is still only 20. He is still only a young kid that he's done a lot already, but you'd already seen it with a couple of these players on the NHL roster where you're like, okay, maybe he should be getting here by now. Nope, not quite yet. And now here he is making his run. So it's almost like this perfect timing of sorts. People, though, at home, Joe, going to these preseason games, you're not going to get a lot of NHLers. Who are the players that they should be at least looking out for with long-term prospects with these preseason games?
Well, tonight, at least on the Sabres side of things, I haven't gotten a look at what Pittsburgh's roster is quite yet, and that's unfortunate because I would love to be able to tell you what they're rolling with and if there's anybody exciting on that side, but I don't think fans here really care too much about what the Pens got. But this lineup tonight is really NHL close. this is a lineup that's going to be as close to the as what you're going to get. If anything, the line Kulik's playing on with Krebs and Rusek is maybe the least experienced one, and that's saying that with Krebs, even though he's played, you know, multiple NHL seasons at this point. Because you're going to have that the energy line of Lafferty, Malenstein, and Nicholas Aube-Kubel together. You know, your D pairs are going to be you have Byron with Power, Samuelson and Joki Haru, Bryson with Clifton. So, like, you're getting, this is as close to a full NHL roster as fans are going to see in a preseason game, without it being like the final preseason game. You know, this is all part of the Sabres not really having it for the NHL group, not having a lot of preseason games because they got this one, they've got the Monday afternoon game now, and then they're off to Germany, and then they've got one more game before they play the Devils, and it's against Red Bull Munich in Germany. So not a lot of game action against, you know, players that aren't their own to test it out. So for me, if you're going to the game or if you're watching on TV tonight, take it in and get an idea of, like, what this is going to be like for what Lindy Ruff is looking to implement with this crew, because it's going to be worth watching. And, you know, with the amount of talent the Sabres are throwing out there, ideally you'd like to see some pretty healthy success.
You'd like to, because you said it, I got curious about it. I recognize only two names tonight in Pittsburgh's lineup, and Jesse Puljujärvi and Cody Glass.
All right, that's a light line. Yeah, I was going to say,
it's a pretty light lineup from them.
You're not going to get Malkin. You're not going to get Letang or Carlson or any of those guys. Yeah, that's about right.
You're
getting the Sabres against the Scranton Wilkes-Barre Penguins basically tonight. So but that's what preseason's about. That's the magic of preseason.
Sometimes you get the imbalance of rosters, and it's perfectly normal. We're going to see that here too. Players like Konsta Hellenius are going to be facing NHL rosters when the Sabres are off in Europe at that point as well. So I would imagine the imbalance will be going quite the other way as well. Joe, when it comes to this season, though, I saw comments earlier from Seth Appert about the power play, which was one of the big Achilles heels of the Sabres last year. And one of those comments encouraged me, saying that, you know, a power play should be tuckering out a penalty kill, be focusing on a lot of movement and even getting those garbage scrappy goals on the power play, because that's just how it's all about. And that makes me feel so good about a change in strategy with the extra man.
Yeah. Seth didn't go quite as far as to say that, you know, the days of Thompson just teeing up one timers is over, but he said that's not the ideal situation. You know, he said, if we're going to see that, it's because we're doing everything else right. And, you know, that's how the play naturally flows to them, instead of just everybody camps at their spot, passes the puck around, and then maybe he gets open enough to rip a one-timer. It's if anybody's gotten to watch the Rochester Americans the last couple of years, you've got kind of an idea of what they want to do with the power play. They want to have guys in front of the net, which I know is an unbelievable statement to hear after how things have gone the last few years, where there was just nobody in front of the net, you know, nobody screening, nobody there really for garbage goals or any of that stuff. They want people moving. They want to be able to set up chances. And the thing that stood out about what Seth said today was he wants them working as a five-man unit. He doesn't want them working as five individuals trying to each score a goal, which they were got kind of guilty of doing for long swaths of the season last year, where, you know, you're stressing so much about trying to score on the power play that you're like, well, forget it. I'm going to take the puck. I'm going to go score. And that doesn't work because the whole mindset of the opposing PK is stop puck, get puck out of zone. And if you're one dude taking on four guys, it's a lot easier. So it's going to be a little rough. It's the, you know, today was the first time we got any look at any sort of special teams work as far as power play units and whatnot. And, you know, it was not a long morning skate today for the group. They skated about 20 minutes. So it'll be rough, but like, special teams are rough for the first month of the regular season while, you know, teams figure stuff out and get studied up on video and know how things work. So, but I am very curious to see how this first wave of it works in practice. Hopefully, and I can't believe I'm saying this, hopefully there are some penalties called in this one so we can see it actually going to work. I know they would rather have more five-on-five work, but I think in the preseason, you want to get those power play reps when you've got, especially when you got a full roster of your guys out there. I mean, aside from Dahlin anyways. But the two units they ran today are basically what we're going to see, except without Dahlin with the first set.
Joe, of course, when it comes down to it, though, are you going to be heading out there to Europe and everything like that, or are you going to be stationed back here with us?
No, I'll be watching on TV with everybody else. It would be believe me, it would be a thrill to be in Prague in Germany for this. But yeah, wasn't in the cards this year.
I mean, had I asked earlier, we probably would have gotten the movement, get Joe to Europe. of course, Joe, I would be remiss if I didn't ask about the Lions with you and have a quick little chat there about your football team. And, you know, a little uneven start with them. Looked really impressive in week one. Lost a revenge game against Mayfield and the Bucs in week two there. But it does look like, though, they should still be relatively solid here heading into the rest of the season.
Yeah, the offense wasn't really clicking against Tampa, which, you know, fans were very eager to flip on Jared Goff, especially after he signed a mammoth contract. And they're like, oh man, here we go. Here's the Goff from first year. He stinks again. Like, just everybody relax. Like, just everybody chill out. Stop going to Dan Campbell's house. Stop being weird. You know, just everybody chill out. It's, you know, it's second game of the year, man. You know, and I get it. Like, it, nobody likes to see losses. I understand, but man, oh man, it's so weird how the mindset changes after just the, you know, some success. I mean, you make a conference championship game. That's a big deal. But you know, they kind of rolled first week and then, yeah, against Tampa. I mean, you know, listen, Tampa, I know people dumped on Tampa because they, you know, they won the division and, division's crappy.
Yep.
They're still pretty good. Their defense was pretty good. And Baker seems to have matured immensely. So, you know, good for him, man. Cause that's cool to see. Cause he's exciting. I would have loved to have seen them run a little bit more, but I get it. You got to get your passing game going too, but on the bright side, Aiden Hutchinson looks unstoppable. So I'll take that as a win.
Yeah. Only a little bit, only five sacks last week, you know, no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty good. When you got the Detroit beat writers already talking about him taking aim on the season sack record, that's kind of cool. So, yeah, he's a freak show, man. He's so good. And I love the pick of Terrion Arnold in the first round this year. Man, he looks awesome.
Hey, you know, if the Lions can stabilize the defense a little bit there too, and maybe it's a little less of the shot for shot that the Lions had the past couple of seasons as well. So it'd be nice to, you know, have a little bit more balance there.
Yeah, the secondary was a must improve after watching, you know, the both safeties just getting roasted, like, all playoffs long, but especially against the Niners. Like, that was just embarrassing, mm-hmm. seeing some of those guys. I mean, Brian Branch is awesome. He's really good. Terry Arnold looks like he's going to be awesome. So you just need to make the depth better. And what's his face? What, CJ, DJ, or whatever the heck that guy's name was. He was all talk, no action. So it's, you don't need a crap talker who can't back it up. I mean, there's only enough Eli Apples around to kind of cover for everybody. So
yeah.
When it comes to that stuff, but yeah, it's weird. It's very weird to be kind of chill about it and not, dreading everything. It's just, that was a winnable game with Tampa, and it would have been cool to see him kind of overcome some of the, them shooting repeated bullets into their foot all game long. So, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see what they do. They got a nasty schedule, but, yeah, that's it. I hope the Tampa game's not one where they look back. It's one they're looking back on going, man, that cost this division, cost this home field, like whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hopefully you have less stress than we do. Bills-Jaguars just sounds like trap game to us, and we're all getting prepared for random goofiness of Billsy loss on the radar to Jags.
Listen, you guys already had your Bills-Jags trap game a few years ago when the other Josh Allen went crazy against Josh Allen of Buffalo.
Oh, but it happened last year too, Joe, so why not have a trilogy?
Yeah.
I hate
well,
it.
Well, what wasn't both of those games in Jacksonville, though?
One was in London, so they have not been here for a while.
Yeah, the Bills are going to win by 40.
I hope you're right, Joe.
That's my prediction.
All right.
They're going to win by 40. Jacksonville looks like a mess.
All right, there we go. Joe, I always appreciate you. It was good to run into you last week like that. You know I'm going to be calling you up as the season gets ready to go.
I'll make sure my phone's on and ready for it.
I appreciate you, Joe.
Thanks, guys.
That's Joe Yurden, noted hockey maintenance day podcast. He contributes with Bleacher Report, and he's a big-time, long-time friend of this show here on Sports Talk Saturday. I love talking to Joe. Joe's one of those dudes. Like I said, I got to the seventh floor. First person I see, me and George is at it.
Sorry, I had to boogie.
Hey, no worries, man. We'll get you deep in the hockey talk again. Don't you worry. There's plenty of Sports Talk Saturday to go around for everyone. But that said, next segment, we got to go around the league.
Yes.
So we do have to do that. We have our responsibilities. We have our bits. We do have to make sure of that. And we do that coming up next here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly, Evans on the board. You know how it is on WGR.
Don't know anything else right now. I don't think so, but still, I can't make that statement with 100% certainty right now, Joe, but I feel like we won't have to go that direction.
That was Sean McDermott talking about Terrell Bernard and possibly not having to go the IR route.
Yay!
Something we mentioned with Aaron Quinn in the first hour of the show, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you haven't heard those segments with Aaron Quinn in the first hour or with Joe Yurden that we just talked to, well, you can use the Odyssey app to rewind and get those interviews. That was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good one.
We do have a bit of an issue with our show right now.
What is that?
With the segments being loaded up. So once that gets fixed up, everything
you'll
be able will to be
go.
Good to go and be able to hear them at any time, anywhere.
So as of right now, you have 24 hours.
As of right now, the clock's ticking.
Mm-hmm. It's been 2 hours. You have 22.
Tick tock. If you want to listen to Aaron Quinn, hurry up. Get in here.
Not in here.
Well, I mean,
get on the Odyssey app.
Yeah, that. Get in there.
Get
in here, you're not going to hear it.
No.
Because we are going to go around the league. Yeah. That's a sound clip.
The air horn?
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's get it going here. Green Bay, Tennessee. This has the revenge game written all over it for Malik Willis, but he had such a very good, wholesome answer about that that you kind of want him to succeed even more against Tennessee.
He was thankful for the fact that they had drafted him, gave him his start, everything like that. And like, it wasn't really much of a revenge thing. They weren't really tossing him aside for no reason. It was Green Bay was willing to part with him for a price.
Yeah.
Or to acquire him for a price. Mm-hmm. And Tennessee was willing to part because of that.
Yes.
They had Will Levis, who is... Will Levis might become the trombone champ himself, by the way. He has been a disaster class with a couple of just pure bonehead plays.
Yeah.
It is awe-inspiring, almost.
It's bad. That flip right to the defense?
Yeah.
What are we doing there?
And then 1 week later, a lateral while falling down.
The picture.
Yeah, the surrender cobra on the pick six in the first week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just him kneeling.
Will Levis, man, he is something else. The entertainment dollar is maximized.
Honestly, yes. Entertainment value is there. But on-field presence, maybe not.
Yeah. Chicago and Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. When are one of these rookie quarterbacks going to throw a touchdown pass? Well, Caleb Williams has a chance to get it going.
He does. Last week wasn't his best. Let's just say that. Second outing in the regular season, he was throwing it all over the place. DJ Moore was visibly upset on the sideline. Visibly upset. It was almost like, who was looking at Russell Wilson last year? Know that picture I'm talking about?
And then Rome Odunze's father looked like he was tweeting out something about him being open on a slant route.
Odell Beckham Jr.'s dad all over again.
Here we go.
In Cleveland, it's happening. The second coming.
You should totally have your son petition for a trade to Buffalo.
Yeah. Bring him in. They have quite the receiver room. He'd be a good addition.
Exactly. However, it is what it is at this point. That said, you need to see a little bit better from your number one overall pick if he's going to be playing. But this also goes back to me trashing Carolina in the booty cheek of the week. This whole trend of rookies starting right away may not be for the best of them. Maybe he could have learned behind Justin Fields for a year. Speaking of Fields.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh and Los Angeles are 2-0.
Yes, and Pittsburgh has the upper hand with Herbert most likely not playing. He's questionable with that high ankle sprain.
Do they really have the upper hand when Pittsburgh is allergic to scoring touchdowns? It's really fitting that they have the same color scheme as Iowa Hawkeyes because they're allergic to touchdowns.
Yes. Oh my God, I forgot your rant on the Iowa Hawkeyes. No, Herbert, he's questionable still. So I don't think it's a definitive either way.
But also, L.A., the Chargers have been running the ball.
They have.
To get it done. J.K.
Dobbins, Gus Edwards, too.
Leading the league. It's a Greg Roman offense, so you don't need your quarterback with a Greg Roman offense.
No, and that's a Jim Harbaugh special. Look at Michigan last year. They were run heavy.
He can't keep getting away with this.
No, he can't. Roman. He can't. But also, you're wasting, in my opinion... Justin Herbert has the potential to be...
But they need to run the ball well, because if you have T.J. Watt teeing off on an injured Herbert or whoever the backup is... Not a good idea. I don't care who it is.
You know who they picked up?
I get terrified when the Bills have to play the Steelers and T.J. Watt's healthy, because that means he's teeing off on Josh Allen. I hate it.
And he rips through offensive lines for a living.
It's not... It's just bizarre how dominant he really is at any point on a Sunday. Houston, Minnesota. The Steph Diggs Revenge Tour.
First time in Minnesota since the miracle.
First time in Minnesota.
Since they came here for that disgusting...
And then he'll play Buffalo...
The week after.
The week after.
The Revenge Tour begins.
The Steph Diggs Revenge Tour begins. And here's another one with 2-0 teams.
Yeah. A lot of 2-0 teams.
The Minnesota Vikings. That has been the strangest step up that we've seen in a long time.
Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold's looking good.
He is.
The run game is looking balanced. Justin Jefferson should be back for this game. It is. It really is looking like what the heck is going on here with Minnesota? The team that nobody expected. You even predicted the Bears to be the division winner.
I did.
And Minnesota's out here saying, hey, we're still randomly Minnesota.
Mm-hmm. Even with Sam Darnold as our quarterback, we're gonna still be there. And he's playing very well. He really is.
He is. He's put into a better system.
Yeah.
Eagles, Saints, Philadelphia trying to keep themselves from some sort of weird collapse after doing so last week with the Falcons. What was that? Against a New Orleans team that has been one of the most dominant that we've ever seen. Derek Carr looks fresh. Alvin Kamara has been probably the best player in the NFC.
He's basically reborn. Haven't seen Alvin Kamara like that in a long time.
It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
But he's been legit in this one, and he's been very much the focal point that they've needed him to be to help out. They've been dominant in their two games, one against Carolina, so I don't know how much it counts. But then Dallas, they do the same exact thing, and it's like, okay, there might be a buzzsaw here. How much of a buzzsaw? Well, we'll find out with Philadelphia going into New Orleans for week three. Denver, Tampa Bay. Here we go. Rookie quarterbacks, do something, please. But Tampa Bay is 2-0. Denver trying to avoid 0-3.
Yeah.
And I don't like their odds. Tampa's just finding ways to win football games right now. They are fun. They're exciting. Joe Yurden, last segment, saying, you know, Baker Mayfield is a delight to watch, and I would not disagree with that statement.
That's why I'm happy I picked them to win the division when we went through that, because they look like they still have a very good chance. Even with Atlanta making that game-winning drive against the Eagles last
Atlanta's
week,
still not a real
team. I don't think they're a real team. I think Tampa's still the team to
New
beat.
New Orleans is the one they're going to have to start holding off all of a sudden.
Yes.
But
yeah,
I think they can. All right. You ready to do it to them? The New York Giants and the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
Daniel Jones versus Deshaun Watson.
Yikes.
Elite quarterback play.
Turn that up. Oh, my God.
There we go. Perfect. It is toxic.
Yeah.
You have to watch this football game.
You have a toxic human being on one side of the ball. And then you have Daniel Jones on the other.
First time in a while one of these tracks got me. It's the first time in a while one of these tracks got me.
It's just so bad.
It's great.
It's funny.
And that's what this game is going to be.
Yeah.
That's what this game is. Every bit of that.
Yeah.
Terrible garbage.
All right. That's going to be terrible. It's going to be terrible.
All right. Let's get this done. We got to wrap this up. All right. Carolina, Las Vegas. Not like we're getting much better here. But
no.
The Raiders do have a fun set of players there. They should just roll Carolina because it's not a real team.
They should, unless Andy Dalton puts together one of those backup QB performances in their first
Andy
game
Dalton,
out.
If Andy Dalton's able to move the Carolina offense in a way that like we haven't seen, then it's like you guys have really broken Bryce Young.
Yeah, and that's a bad
Carolina,
thing.
And that's a bad thing. But if he's not able to, then it's still also this team is so unbelievably broken, and Bryce Young's not a cause of it. He's not a symptom. He's a victim.
Yep. Which way would you rather have it? Would you rather have them
lose? I'd rather the team be the mess.
The team be the mess and not Bryce Young be the
mess.
Yes,
I would rather see that.
Same.
Miami, Seattle. No Tua. Seattle, you know, they're weird. They're cardiac, I think is the best way to describe the Seattle
Seahawks. I think
Geno
Smith, though, is going to move the ball on that Miami defense.
Geno is playing really well again to start the year.
Yeah.
I do think that that's going to be a challenge for Miami there to avoid 1-2. That's something that you desperately need to get to not happen here.
You know what, though? Their run game with Achan, if they actually get some blocking, they might be able to move the ball down the field.
Especially against Seattle. They're not the most consistent defensive team.
Right. So that game could go either way, but I would still, I think the Seahawks offense with Geno, their starting quarterback under center, is going to be better.
Baltimore and Dallas. The Ravens trying to get out of 0-2 and trying to avoid 0-3. That's not good.
No.
I mean, especially with the fact that there's two AFC North teams that should not be at 0-2 that are sitting at 0-2. And then there's the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
like, that's that Mario Party clip of Luigi standing there and everyone else falls off by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Steelers at 2-0.
It is. And, you know, the Ravens.
The Ravens and Bengals just fell immediately off. The Browns did that little weird roundabout, and Luigi got to sit there with the Steelers, and there they are, 2-0.
You're absolutely right. The Ravens, though, they just haven't looked great. I don't know. They got to get it together. So do the Bengals.
And so do we. We're getting over here. San Fran 49ers, LA Rams. The 49ers, I didn't mean to call it. They're starting to get banged up like they do every 3 years.
Yeah.
To unbelievable amounts. Christian McCaffrey already on IR. There might be no George Kittle. There's no Deebo Samuel. This is going to be a disaster for them if it keeps going like this.
And who are they playing?
They play the LA Rams, a team that
is also dealing with injury. Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp both most likely not going to play as
week
far as
three,
I saw
we
yesterday.
We have the injury bowl already. All right. Detroit, Arizona. Well, Joe Yurden's boys are going to get a test here. The Arizona Cardinals have been plucky to start the year.
Yeah.
Dominant last week against the Rams.
And put up a fight in Buffalo week one.
Put a scare into it.
Yeah.
And legitimately looked like a solid team all around in week one. So maybe the Cardinals are for real. Kyler Murray looks like he is back.
James Conner in the run game looks phenomenal as
looks
well.
Looks just as good as it did last year.
Yeah.
Kansas City against Atlanta. Oh, yay.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the painstaking way that the Kansas City Chiefs move to 3-0.
I can't wait until Kirk Cousins has a victory game against the Kansas City Chiefs.
I hope you're right, but I'm not expecting
it. I'm going to take
the
dog here.
No, taking the dog.
There's no way.
You would like that, but I don't.
You like that?
I'm dreading how painful.
Big Kirko's always dripping.
I'm dreading how painful Atlanta is going to be dealt this loss. Because that is something they specialize in.
I think the Chiefs find a way to lose this one with very little Travis Kelce production and things along those lines.
Monday night doubleheader, of course. We got the Bills and the Jaguars. That one starting at 7:30. We'll have pregame all day on Monday here on a Buffalo Bills football Monday for you here on WGR.
Earlier
then,
game.
Of course, the one that we will not be able to broadcast at all because we've got that dang Bills game, yo. Cincinnati and Washington. Again, rookie quarterbacks, do something. Cincinnati, try to avoid 0-3. The Bengals seem to be allergic to starting off on time
for the season. They do.
And I think that this is the chance that they bounce back naturally.
Yeah.
This is the ho-hum usual Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's wrap this thing up coming up here next.
Tie it with a little bow.
Yeah. As quick as we got to be.
Do we?
Yeah.
I know we blew up. Oh, God. That's a thing now.
That's a thing now. Good job. You asked for it, so
I did.
I want to hear it.
I did. I did ask for it. I didn't know it was coming out right there.
Now. So, Infinity Sports coming up for the next couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
But we have Sabres preseason hockey tonight.
Yes.
Brian Koziel will be here for you.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back. I deleted the schedule. I'd imagine pregame starting around 6 o'clock. 6:30. Thank you, Evan. I appreciate that. So pregame 6:30. Brian Koziel will have you there.
Good to know.
We're back. Sabres preseason.
Yeah. And you're gonna see the regulars.
You are seeing, outside of like five players, mm-hmm. you're seeing the NHL roster today. UPL expected to get the full share of this game.
Yep.
I only saw two recognizable names on Pittsburgh's roster with Jesse Puljujärvi and Cody Glass.
So they should slap them, truthfully.
I'm not going to put expectations on preseason hockey. It's okay.
No.
Because if they lose, then the next thing you know, Sabres Twitter will have a meltdown.
I do have a question for you, though, about preseason in general, quickly. Mm-hmm. You see how the Bills got off to a slow start in their first week. I hate to make sport-to-sport comparisons, but preseason is generality, right? Do you think starters should be playing in the preseason to avoid those slow starts in the regular season? Look at the Bengals, how they've started, right?
The answer is yes. The teams aren't doing it enough.
Yeah.
But the Bills also did have themselves created some odd circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and they've looked sharper than some teams have.
Right.
Because they have been trying to at least pepper them in. Allen just didn't get a lot of time in particular.
Mm-hmm. And the receivers were only catching passes.
Pittsburgh's field was a mess.
That was bad.
By the time we got to Carolina, everyone, the secondary, the safety position was already banged up to...
Yeah.
Everything in the world. All right, Sabres preseason, 6:30. We got Buffalo Bills football Monday for you. Pre-game coverage starting right there basically at 6 a.m. and we're not stopping.
Mm-hmm.
For our guests today, for Aaron Quinn in our number one of cover one, for Joe Yurden, who was just on with us earlier this hour, thank you to them. Thank you, Joe, as always, for being here and doing what you do.
No problem.
And sometimes always. Having your brain broken by my squirrel.
Always love it.
Evan, nicely done finding a trombone champ track that kind of froze me on that one. That's been a bit. Wilfred tweeting in, that song had me rolling.
Mm-hmm.
So good job. You got to keep finding them there. And of course, thank you to all of you that called in, listened in, tweeted in today. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. We'll be back again next week.
Next week.
But you'll hear from me on the overtime show at midnight on Monday.
You hear all of our voices gracing the airwaves.
Oh.
I got the updates for you.
There we go.
Mm-hmm.
So there it is. You'll hear from us in a couple days here, but you'll hear from Brian first, Sabres preseason game
number one in the chamber here, 6:30 start. Have a good night. Don't go full bribery, but maybe grease a palm.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.